What's up, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of Pizza Rainbow. On this episode, we start talking about pop culture, somehow get on emoji hand jobs, and then spend the rest of the time talking about boys, which is probably going to set the tone for the rest of our podcasts. You can find this and other great podcasts at mathishard.net and also on iTunes, and you can follow Paulson on Twitter at TigerBeatPoet and myself at Amber_L. Carter. Thanks for listening, everybody. Welcome to Pizza Rainbow. My name is Amber.
And my name is Jen.
And today, and every day that you listen to Pizza Rainbow.
Every day.
We're going to be talking about pop culture.
Yeah, but basically the bad reality shows that Amber watches.
And the bad pop music that Jen likes to listen
to. Yay, we win. Neutralize that situation.
Yeah, I think maybe we should explain how we came up with our name. Maybe. You want to?
Emojis.
Emojis, yeah. I don't have emojis on my phone.
Do you have an iPhone?
I do.
I'll show you how to turn them on.
No, I don't want to.
Why?
Because I don't like them.
Because why?
Because they annoy the shit out of me.
Okay, that's okay. Because once if you got them, you'll do them all the time because they're really fun. Okay. You'll be sending dirty emojis to boys and doing funny combinations about hand jobs and emojis.
I don't know.
Emoji hand jobs.
I don't know. I want to do emoji hand jobs. I don't even want to do real life hand jobs.
Really? I prefer hand jobs over blowjobs, but we should cut that out. I don't need people to know that. No one will date me. Let's get real here.
Let's get into it. Let's get intimate.
No one dates Jen because they know that she doesn't like BJs.
Who does, though?
Blowjobs.
I don't know. I feel like I go back and forth with that. I don't like hand jobs because they're boring. And it's like my hand gets tired.
Yeah.
And you're never going to do it as well as he does it. And
that's so true.
It's kind of a fact.
That's like when they try to do the same thing that you do.
Yes.
It's like it doesn't really work. It can't be trained.
No.
It takes like 20 years.
Cosmo keeps telling you to like put your hand and guide them, but that's really annoying because it's like, why would I want to guide you when
I can just do it myself? Men don't take guidance. You know what we should...
And isn't it kind of the same as like a guy like putting his hand on each side of your head and like guiding you? Like if a guy did that to me, no, like I would swat.
It's kind of punch worthy.
It is punch worthy.
It's like a gentleman doesn't push on your head ever.
No, don't do it. No. Don't ever do that. Mm-mm. Unless you're like pushing on my head to kiss me and to bring me closer to you in an endearing fashion.
Yeah, not in a bossy blow J way.
No, mm-mm. Nobody likes the bossy blow J way.
Oh my God.
Ugh. Yeah.
That was too interesting. We need to have a separate sex podcast now.
Maybe.
Let's call that one Pizza Rainbow. This will be like pop culture.
That would work.
Culture zone, pop TV zone.
What would we call it if it was a sex podcast? Because we did Pizza Rainbow because...
No blowjays.
No blowjays.
I'm stealing.
No blowjays.
I'm stealing that from... No one would listen.
Wait. What if we called it the BJ situation?
Oh...
Copyrighted, trademarked.
You can't have that.
Nope.
Talk to my lawyer.
Nobody can in a variety of different ways. Yeah. Well, because we came up with the name Pizza Rainbow because we love pizza parties and Reading Rainbow.
Reading Rainbow.
Yeah. That's just kind of how we roll. We love those things. Which brings me to one of the things that we wanted to talk about today. So with current events, something that's happening right now is The Labyrinth. Is coming back. I think they're making a sequel to it. Rainbow Bright is getting a reboot.
Like a live action or?
Rainbow Bright is like a cartoon one.
It's just a regular TV show cartoon reboot.
Like kind of like an extended movie. And Molly Ringwald is playing the villain. But it's really similar to like the old Rainbow Bright movies where the villain like sucks all the color out of the world. Which isn't that like every episode of Rainbow Bright? Like, I don't remember there ever being like any other plot.
Yeah, like there was a villain that stole everyone's smile.
Yes.
Which is probably an episode. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and Care Bears too. Aww. I feel like they shared a lot of the same plot devices.
Like, don't bring the world down, villains.
Quit being shysty.
Yeah, no, stop it. You're rude.
So I watched the trailer and I don't know. Like, it kind of seemed really Disney-esque. Like, Rainbow Bright is very sassy, which I enjoy in a way. But I kind of just put something on Twitter about, like, I can't decide if I'm into it or not. Like, I'll probably make my nieces watch it. But then my friend Jason brought up a good point where he's like, we need new pop culture stuff, which is something that's been a conversation for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all, like... All we're doing is remaking stuff. But then I suddenly realized where it's like, but it's our generation that's doing it. Like, we have this, like, generational pop culture regression.
Where we're like, we can't think of any new ideas.
Yeah.
It's or like an episode of Rainbow Bright where one of the villains stole all of the new ideas.
Let's just have him steal all the colors all the time. But I think too, like, or maybe it's the golden age of like our lives. Cause like we had some pretty rad stuff in our childhood.
True.
Like they're doing Fraggle Rock again too. They're going to do, what was the other one? Dark Crystal, which like, I think that's unnecessary.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think they're going to make it too creepy or something.
It was like I think Dark Crystal's already creepy.
I know, that's why I'm really afraid of what they're going to do.
Yeah. It was really scary.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching it when I was little and just being like, this is terrifying. And then I watched it again, like, 2 years ago, and I was like, this is hilarious. But
yeah, it's just a different, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I think it's unnecessary, but I think they're making it more for, because unfortunately, we're at an age where we should have children.
And yet, we don't.
That's okay. That's okay. But that's why all these things are being rehashed right now.
That's
all right.
This podcast can be our child.
Yes. Hello, podcast baby. Thank you for not crying You're during beautiful. The middle of the night.
That would annoy both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting because, I mean, I think the stuff that we grew up with was pretty fucking cool. But yeah, like it just seems like we can't come up with any. And I guess, I mean, we can come up with original ideas, but it feels like the remakes are more plentiful than like the original movies or cartoons or series. Yeah.
But I think it's because they're marketing it to the kids that we're supposed to have.
Yes. Which could be.
So we go with them and spend more money.
Yes. A brilliant marketing ploy because it's like, well, I'll go too. Yeah. And I'll go to it because, yeah, I don't have anything better to do than to spend my money on a Labyrinth movie. I really want David Bowie to be in it. And if he's not in it, I don't know if I'm going to go see it.
I wouldn't.
No.
I think I'd pick it.
Yeah.
I think we should pick it together.
Oh, pick it. Like, picket sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, protest it.
No Bowie, no Bucks or something.
Because that was, like, the whole magic of the movie. Like, before, well, yeah.
What
like,
would it be with someone else in that role? It'd be nothing. It'd be
They would have to find somebody like super, super sexy. Because I feel like one of the reasons that girls our age like really love that movie is because it was the first like dawn of our like, oh, we're like, huh, look at those pants.
Why am I attracted to this there? Man, lady? That's weird. It has the same haircut as my mom and Jem.
And yet something's different.
Yeah. My mom doesn't have a bulge like that when she wears leggings.
Those leggings were phenomenal. Honestly, like, I feel like if guys our age ever wanted to, like, fulfill the fantasy, just put on those leggings and a white shirt like that and a wig. Oh, my God. Yeah, guys, please all dress up like that for Halloween.
300 pounds and it would still be hot.
Yes. That can be the guy's, like, slutty costume. Please, all men listening to this, please dress up as David Bowie for Halloween.
And then trick-or-treat at our house. Hey! No, please don't.
You get
don't.
Lots of treats.
Oh please don't scare the children in my neighborhood.
Do you get trick-or-treaters here?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the past, last year, I just hid in my basement.
Because you don't want to give out candy?
No, because my living room is messy.
Oh, okay. Oh, and are they knocking on the door?
They'll knock on the front door, yeah.
Okay.
I could scare them, though.
You could. Well, you could, like, sit outside and do, like, a stoop haunted house.
Well, yeah, because we'll hang out on my porch.
Yeah.
And they could ring the bell, and that I could be like, super fun. Here's your candy, and like, yeah. Wah!
I think that would be fun.
I don't want to scare kids in the hood.
I would.
Well, maybe we should. Just lose their shit.
And they won't want any candy.
It's not a successful night if we don't make any child cry.
Or pee their pants.
Yeah. Or one of their parents. Or I prefer if I'm going to make anyone cry, I'm going to make like, the 15-year-olds trick-or-treating cry.
Seriously. Yeah, they shouldn't be trick-or-treating.
Special treatment for those fucking weirdos.
Buy your own goddamn candy.
Yeah, get a job.
Do you know what you're going to be for Halloween yet?
No, I don't have any plans for Halloween. Do you have any plans?
I don't either. No, I just realized, like, today we were talking about the haunted basement at Soap Factory, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it is that season. So, which Halloween is, like, my favorite, but with everything been going on lately, yeah. It hasn't even crossed my mind. But I should come up with a costume, because I want to do something.
You're really good at costumes.
I like, well, basically it involves me taking a trash bag and putting stuff on it and then wearing it as a shirt. So yeah.
It's clever. Yeah. You're just clever.
Yeah. Trying to be.
Yeah.
What was it last year? I did the trash. I was white trash. Yeah. So I did a white trash bag and then I just put like debris on it. And then
garbage.
Yeah, garbage.
Trash.
Trash. I made sure to put on a maxi pad on it.
Oh my God.
I'm like, that's the whole point of why it's awesome. And then the year before that, I was 50 Shades of Grey, where I taped 50 paint samples of gray paint on my black trash bag. And then the year before that, I think that was the year I was a douchebag. No, that was a few years ago. Yeah, that was in the beginning. Because it was like douchebag, where I put douche products on the black trash bag. And then I think it was Betty White's box, where I taped a picture of Betty White to a box and then taped that box to my body. I don't know. And your mom's box. I did that one. Oh. Yeah, I did that because I was up north.
You just like the trash bags. Lots of trash bags.
So easy. And I have tons of trash bags and boxes since I just moved. So I got to come up with another plan where it's
somebody else's box.
What about a trash box? That's like a euphemism for.
Is it?
Yeah. It's supposed to be like euphemism for a gross vagina or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just be a gross vagina.
We'll look it up on Urban Dictionary. I'm not going to be a gross vagina. Yeah, so that'll be fun. Halloween. So what else is going on in the world, Jen Paulson?
Top Chef's host Padma Lakshmi has broken up with Richard Gere.
Oh, she was going out with Richard Gere?
Yeah, for like 6 months. I found out that they were dating and they broke up at the same time on Us. Mm. On Us Weekly's Facebook page.
Oh, God. I'm behind on the Richard Gere love series. Because he was with that one chick for a really long time, right? What's her face? Carrie something?
Oh, Carrie.
She had like brown hair.
She was a model and then she was an actress. They were married.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't they have a baby together. Kids?
Yeah. You know, I just saw American Gigolo for the first time like 3 weeks ago.
Was it really good?
It was, you know, it's good. It's really sexy. Like there was actually a couple parts that like I almost felt embarrassed. And like obviously if you listen to the beginning of the podcast, like I don't get embarrassed by much. But I was like, whoa, this is like really like erotic. And then.
Because he like plays a male prostitute,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And it's full frontal. Like you get to see everything, which is amazing. I highly enjoyed that.
Have you seen Gone Girl yet?
No, I haven't. I'm excited though.
Junk?
I want to, but that's been a goal of mine for years. So I'm excited that I'm going to get to accomplish it. That's okay. It was worth it. No, but then the ending of American Gigolo is like the worst ending in the entire. Like it's the dumbest, cheesiest, corniest ending that you could ever come up with ever.
Like he stops being a prostitute. Wait, and then a lady comes and saves him at his apartment. She's really rich.
Those plot devices, except in different settings, yeah.
So it's like Pretty Woman.
Yes.
But
yeah, like in that, I think, I remember like hearing references to how Pretty Woman was like an infracted version of American Gigolo, which
funny,
I thought was interesting.
And then he was in it.
Yeah. So he was married to Carrie Lowell.
There you go.
Yeah. She was hot.
Because she was married to Dominic Dunn, wasn't she? Not Dominic Dunn, but Griffin Dunn.
Griffin Dunn?
The guy from, he was in American Werewolf in London. He
played
his friend that had died. It keeps like revisiting him.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't dug into those movies.
Nah.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Griffin Dunn. Yep. She met him in 1988. And she was a Bond girl. Too.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just like the Timothy Dalton Bond movies.
I think
not
so.
Not the Brosnan Bond movies.
No. And those are, yeah. I really only got into Bond when Brosnan was doing it. And then I like started watching Casino Royale a couple weeks ago, but it wasn't really hitting me right.
Like the Daniel Craig one?
Mm-hmm. He's delicious.
Yeah, he's lovely.
Yeah, I would do him.
Who wouldn't?
I don't know. I would like to meet that person.
I'm sure there's people.
Yeah, Timothy Dalton. She was in License to Kill.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, okay. So, Padma Lakshmi. You know, I don't really... I'm not a big fan, I don't feel like.
A fan of her or a fan of Top Chef?
Both. Like, I'm not a big... I know you love cooking shows, And which is why we're doing a podcast together, because you love this. I maybe don't love this. But like, I just, like, top shelf to me is like watching football. Like, I really don't have any interest in like how people make dishes, because I just don't, I don't really care that much.
Sure. Yeah, I don't love Top Chef. I'm not into like, I don't love competition cooking shows. I like more educational, like learning how to make a dish cooking shows. Yeah. Like, I haven't watched Top Chef in forever. I get sucked into Chopped.
Yeah.
Because it's so dumb.
I haven't seen that yet.
I don't know. It's just like the ingredients are so ridiculous and they have a short period of time and it's like unrealistic to me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm like, really? I'm going to like a good restaurant, they're not going to be like, here's some candy corn, some brioche, and some bacon. Make something.
And make it amazing.
Yeah. And you only have 20 minutes. I'm like, I don't want to go to this restaurant.
What was that? And I feel like they're making competition shows out of everything now too. Like, there's a nail art one.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds kind of fun. Sorry. You can disagree. I
would give it a shot. Like, I would watch it once. But again, like, that's something that like I have no inherent interest in. Like, cooking, nail art, like, I could give a shit.
Yeah.
Cake decorating, oddly enough for me, like, that would be something that I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. But
yeah, I mean, in terms of like, Food Network has that Cutthroat Kitchen show.
Yeah.
Which is like an Elton Brown show, which is heartbreaking because it's a stupid show.
Okay.
They was like, oh, you have $10,000. And you were like, basically like, well, I want to make sure that this other person can't use a knife. I'll pay $5,000. So this person has to use a, you know, like a spoon to like fillet a fucking fish. And it's just so dumb.
What a nightmare.
That sounds like a nightmare. But like, fuck this, I won't do that.
Nobody wants to do that.
They do.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm not big on the competition shows either. Like, I don't watch America's Next Top Model. I don't, like, Survivor is really boring for me. Biggest Loser. Yeah. Like, I just don't, I fully accept and embrace this about myself, but like, I like relationship psychology type shows. Like, I like seeing how people interact with each other in interpersonal relationships. Like, couples therapy, I'll watch that shit until the sun goes down. Like, I love that crap. But when it comes to like America's Next Top Model, like, I'll watch it if I'm watching it with somebody else, but it's just not inherently appealing to me.
Oh yeah, I love America's Next Top Model, but this season and the last season they added dudes.
Yeah.
Which is dumb.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I give zero fucks about male models.
Yeah.
Unless they're like Tyson Beckford or something.
Right.
That's, you know, dated.
I think something that I get frustrated with that with those shows too is that when you have a recipe that works, stick with it. Like, quit fucking up like the recipe. And I feel that's why I lost interest in America's Next Top Model a while back, just because they started adding in all these like different elements to it. And it's like, the reason why we started watching it was because it was about actual modeling. It was like actual modeling jobs that they were doing.
Yeah.
And then they added in all these like different challenges and like stupid stuff.
I hate challenges.
Like, yeah. And like, that's,
you know, models can't do anything other than model.
And they shouldn't, because that's why I'm watching the show. I want to see them fucking model.
Yeah, I want to see the pictures.
Like, get the inside view into the fashion world.
Yeah.
And like, I know that like, you know, producers or whatever, like, you got to shake it up. But it's like, no, you don't. Like, if it works, stick with it. Otherwise, you lose viewership.
Yeah.
You lose my viewership.
And credibility in general and just watchability.
Yeah. Yeah. It's jumping the shark.
Yeah.
Bothers the shit out of me.
It's boring.
Yeah. Real boring. The other thing that happened... was it last week? It must have been last week. But on Real Housewives of New Jersey, Joe and Teresa were both sentenced to jail. I don't know if you ever watched.
Was that on the episode they actually showed like that stuff going down?
They will. Yeah. Like, okay. This season has been really interesting because it's kind of run the gamut of. So on Real Housewives of New Jersey, for anybody who doesn't watch it, so basically it's become. It started out with a show about like a family, like mostly the Manzo family. And like their sister-in-law and her husband and like all this other stuff. And now it's slowly kind of become about Teresa Giudice and her brother Joe Gorga and his wife Melissa. And then like their cousins Kathy. And like it's become like a family type thing. And it's been interesting because the past two seasons have been about like the infighting between Melissa and Teresa, who are sister-in-laws and like originally hated each other. All whatever. Watch the show if you want to find out about it. But then, but it was interesting because like they really shed an unsympathetic light on Teresa, and for good reason. Like she was kind of a hellish bitch. But then this season, it's been like a total ball fest because it's just been like about her struggling to like shield her family from everything that's happening with their court case. Like they've been, they were indicted on like 51 counts of fraud and embezzlement. Like they lied to like get bank mortgages, and they did a bunch of other like shady stuff. But it is one of those things where it's like, okay, you did something wrong. You have to pay a price. Like we all know that. But then just like watching the show and like seeing this family that's now going to literally be like torn apart. Like Joe's from Italy, so he's probably going to get deported after he goes to jail. Like it's just one of those things where it's like, it's when reality starts to get real, yeah. You know? But it was pretty sad. Because like a year ago, I would have been like, good. I'm glad she's going to jail. That she's a bitch. But now I'm just like, no, like that sucks for those kids and like for that family. And
yeah. Maybe they should have been thinking about that when they were doing fraudulent shit.
You know, that's what a lot of people say. And yes, they should have been. But and like the judge said, too, she's like, you know, I need to make an example. She's like, we have to stop letting people in the public eye like get off with gentle charges or whatever, which is true. Like, yeah, it's really,
but that's kind of baloney, though, too.
Yeah, I don't think she gave them any harsher of a sentence than they deserved.
Okay,
not at all. No, but I think, yeah, there's a bunch of like extenuating circumstances that went into the case, which was really interesting. But I think the judge was very firm about the fact that like they're not going to get any special treatment.
Yeah, so. I just remember like hearing her like on the radio, like playing, they played some snippet of her talking about like her plea bargain or something, and she seemed like just an idiot.
Yeah,
where she's like, I just thought my attorney was gonna take care of it. It's like, you accepted a plea, you know what I mean, you accepted, yeah, this, but it's like, were you listening? Yeah, like at all.
I mean, that's what happens with a plea bargain. Yeah. And like he, I think, I don't know, I, Therese is not a very bright person. And so I think that, not that she's without blame, because like when you're in a marriage and you have finances, like it is your responsibility to know what's going on in your finances. Like that is just your responsibility as a woman. Like gone are the days when the man can just take care of that and you can just like take care of the kitchen. And you shouldn't have been doing that anyways, because so many women got screwed when their husbands died and they didn't know shit, yeah, about what was going on. But I think Teresa was another example of that, where like she just, I think she just kind of signed documents and didn't really know what was going on. And just as long as she was in this like big, beautiful house and, yeah, could buy whatever she wanted, like she didn't question it.
Well, yeah. You, I mean, you trust that, you know, the person that you're married to isn't going to,
right,
you know, have you signing docs where they're
incurring, where you're going to get, yeah, sent to jail for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I just remember like from the very first episode, something was shady, where like, I'll never forget, they kind of showed Teresa going shopping with her daughters, and then the price tag on it was like $1,000, and she's like counting out all this cash, and you hear this like, this voiceover where she's like, I hear the economy is going bad, so I just pay with everything with cash. And you're like, $1,000 worth of cash for everything? Something's up. Nobody does that.
No.
Yeah. I remember like being like, either he's in the mafia, or you're laundering money, or you're ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't even.
No. Well, and we can talk about something else too.
Okay. I'm learning. I'm learning stuff.
I love The Housewives though. I just love that show. It's just fun. Like, I just like learning about the women's lives and the ridiculousness that they get up to. And yeah, I like it.
The chair throwing.
Yeah. I love it. I like the drama. I really do. And I'm not going to apologize for it.
You don't have to.
No, I'm not going to.
Hey, did you watch the Mulaney premiere?
I didn't. I missed it. I was really upset. What night was it on again?
It's on Sunday nights.
Okay. And that's, yeah, because I was moving that night. So
yeah.
Yeah.
The second episode just, the last episode was on last week.
Okay.
So the most recent episode was on just a couple days ago.
Okay. I'll have to catch up on that. I love him. He's so hilarious.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when you watch it.
Yeah.
I don't want to give you any sort of slant on how to feel about it.
Okay. Well, why don't I want it. Like, do you like it yet?
It's boring.
Is it? That's what I was kind of afraid of.
Really disappointing.
Okay.
Because I love him.
Yeah.
He's so funny. And I know, like, his last stand-up record pretty much by heart. And then he does stand-up, like, in the beginning. Like, it's Seinfeld.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
No. Just don't. Come on.
I wondered about that because, like, I feel like the natural progression for comedians is getting your own sitcom, right? That seems to be what's the going on these days.
Well, and that's kind of been going on forever.
Yeah. I mean, with Seinfeld, obviously, and then... Was there anybody before him that was like a stand-up comedian that got their own show or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Roseanne. But Roseanne didn't like do stand-up at the beginning of the episode. She's just kind of basically doing like her life as it kind of was before.
Yeah. No. I know that. But I mean, like with Mulaney, he's such a strong stand-up comedian. And I kind of feel like just because you're a really strong stand-up comedian does not mean that you can then parlay that into a sitcom.
Well, and he's a really strong writer, but in terms of like acting, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's disappointing because Nassim Pedrad's on there. She was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And she left to go do the show.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, girl.
Girl.
But maybe they'll get it together. I would like to see them.
Maybe. Maybe they just need to get their feet wet.
Why can't, and maybe they need to steal some of the New Girl writers.
Yeah.
I think that would really help. I
fucking love New Girl.
Yeah, me too.
Watch that show forever. New Girl, The Mini Project. I know there's people who don't like The Mini Project, but I don't care. I love it. I think it's hilarious. It's campy and it's fun. It's like my alter ego.
Did it take you a while to like get into it? Like the first couple episodes mm-hmm. of the first season? Because I
didn't watch it. I think I went back after the first season to watch it.
Okay.
Because it wasn't inherently... I'm saying inherently a lot in this podcast for some reason. It wasn't a show that at first I was like, oh, I can't miss that. It was kind of like, well, that looks kind of good. New Girl too, though. Like, I probably didn't start watching New Girl until the first season was over.
Oh, yeah. I didn't start watching New Girl until the second season was almost over.
Yeah. And now it's my favorite show.
Well, yeah, because Breaking Bad was over.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I could not watch another drama.
No.
Absolutely not. And when New Girl came out, they over promoted it so much.
Yeah, they really
did.
That
I was just like, give me a break. This isn't going to work. So I didn't watch it, you know?
Right.
And I guess I've never been like, Zooey Deschanel's the worst. I haven't been like one of those people that just hate her for no reason.
See, I think that's what kept me away from it. I don't hate her for no reason. I listened to a podcast that she was on, The Nerdist, when she was on there. And I remember just being like, she's really just not that funny in person. Like, it was one of those things where, like, she's trying to tell jokes and they all drop dead. And so I was like, well, I don't know how funny her show's going to be, right? And I loved her acting in movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it was too, like, I think I read some kind of essay on the show. And it had a lot to do with, like, the manic pixie dream girl or whatever. And how she plays this, like, really, like... kind of like dumbly innocent, naive girl or whatever. And then they kind of made the connection to the manic pixie dream girl. So I think right away, like, that turned me off.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't know if this is a show that I can really get into and, you know. But then my friend Erica watches it all the time. And she was the one that kind of, I think we were kind of talking about, we were texting one night and she mentioned it. And I was like, well, if Erica likes it, I got to watch it. Because she is a pretty good barometer for what's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I watched like 3 episodes. I don't think the first one caught me. But by the third one, I was just like, oh my God, I can't get enough.
Yeah. I go back and watch the New Girl pilot. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's one of the most solid pilots that I've ever seen.
The one.
Pilots suck.
Pilots usually are awful. Yeah. Speaking of new fall shows, you know whose pilot was like one of the best pilots I've ever seen in my entire life?
Which one?
Red Band Society.
Oh.
Oh my God. It was so good. Like oh my God. I'm so in love with that show. It has everything that I love. Where like I love like YA books and movies like The Fault in Our Stars and that kind of stuff like I go crazy about, and Red Band Society is like totally up my alley on that. But there's also that like dramatic medical element that I really loved with like Grey's Anatomy and stuff too. The pilot was so solid. Like it was just like it never missed a beat. Like it hit every single mark. It was so good. Yeah,
I should give it a chance, but sick kids shouldn't look that good. They just look too not
they're
very, sick.
They're, it's a lot of really handsome cancer patients. Yeah.
There's, it's not real life.
You know, that's the one thing that I'm like, I just know, like me as a 13-year-old would like watch that show and be like, I really wish that I could get cancer so I could go live in a hospital and have that life.
We should go find the, we should go find all the message boards online where the kids are talking about, I wish I had cancer.
Yeah.
I went and hung out with my grandpa. He's got cancer. I hope I get it from him.
And then I could go live in a hospital like Red Band Society and have kicky conversations with the girl who has anorexia. And
yeah, and have posters on the wall in the hospital because that's not normal. I think when people have cancer, you know, maybe they're in the hospital.
And the rooms are huge.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah, hospital rooms do not have personality unless your parents are fucking rich.
Unless it's a real rich hospital, too. Yeah. But anyways, I still love the show and I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care if it's unrealistic.
Hey, TV is TV. It doesn't have to be realistic. Yeah. Have you watched Hannibal? Did you watch Hannibal last year?
I have not watched Hannibal. No. I feel like, who's on that now? Dang it. I'm not going to think of his name. He was on the show about the gangsters in Atlantic City, Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's on it now. He's like Michael something.
Michael Shannon?
No.
He's not on
it. No, I love Michael Shannon. No, he he's really smoldering. He has like blonde hair, very brooding. We're going to Google it. Anyways, talk about something while I Google this.
Well, Hannibal is a fun show, but it's a little just too weird.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense.
I've heard the acting in there is really good. Or maybe that's Sherlock.
That Mads Mikkelsen is a weird looking Danish fucking dreamboat. I want to get on that. I love him so much.
I want to get on Michael Shannon. He's delish.
What?
Michael Shannon?
He looks like he'd be a pretty good lover, but then he might kill you after.
That's the excitement of it. That's why I like him.
I wonder, he could kill me.
Michael Pitt. That's who it is. Michael Shannon, yes, I want to sleep with.
Oh, yeah.
But Michael Pitt, and I think he's on Sherlock and not Hannibal.
No, he was on Hannibal. Hannibal. Did you ever see the movie that they did, like the Hannibal movie, the one with Julianne Moore?
I did not. Okay. I passed that one up.
Okay, yeah, because he plays a character from that movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, and he's one of those people that, like, I'll watch whatever Michael Pitt is playing.
He's creepy in everything.
Whatever. We don't need to talk about my...
I get it. It's like that young adult thing. It's like, he's like the bad boy. He's like Christian Slater's character in Heathers.
Yeah.
He's smoldering, yes. But he's also breaking the law somewhere and will probably kill someone.
Well, and look at this. So, David Bowie in Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. Christian Slater in Heathers was also like one of my first, like, oh... I might want to do stuff with this person.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So
Robin Hood, like, Prince of Thieves.
Yeah. So maybe that's yes.
Dunzo.
Yeah. So like Cuffs. That's probably my origin story is like, give me the creepster stalker guy in leather leggings and I'll probably be all over that and be like, let's get married.
Except in real life, Amber, you'd run the fuck away from that guy.
I don't... We'll see.
I can't wait.
There's been a couple of men where it's been like, yeah, like...
Yeah. I got you these leather pants and this Labyrinth David Bowie wig.
Can you just like put this on for a minute?
Yeah, put this on for a minute.
Thanks.
Who's creepy now?
Did you ever meet Cocaine Matt?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So that would be like one of my real life instances of like dating a guy like that where it's like, wait. There's something about, you did.
I remember
him. At the housewarming party, yeah. That would be one where it's just like, you know, I maybe should listen to my intuition on this, but... You know, we're just going to go with it because you're hot and brooding and dark and sensitive, so.
And this really funny, awesome guy is here. Well, boring.
No, that's not the same one. You're thinking, oh, no.
That was that
would,
night.
No, that would go into him, too. That wasn't Cocaine Matt. That was a different one.
Okay.
But, yeah, he would fit that bill. Yeah, and then the really nice, awesome, funny, cool guy.
Who I still have a crush on.
Yeah. He's pretty fun. He's pretty fun. I ruined that. For everybody who's listening, we'll give you the backstory so you don't feel like you're totally lost. Well,
we could just take it out.
No. So one night I went to the VFW with a bunch of my friends, including this one guy that I had been on a couple of dates with, but we had been friends before that from school. And then one of the other guys that I was dating showed up at the VFW also, who is not really dating material. Like, not what you would call a stand-up guy. But he sure was cute, and he sure was sexy. So I pretty much spent a lot of time with the tall brooder and kind of ignored the really cute, funny guy because I also had some beer to drink.
And that's how the world works.
It is.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's just how the world works.
Yep. And it was a really good lesson for me to learn that, of just being like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? Step away from the brooder and go towards the guy who actually has some
Go towards character. The light.
Yeah, go towards the light. So yeah, so that was real fun. But yeah, that works into my origin story. I think I've broken the origin story though. Like, I think I've moved past that.
Good.
Yeah. We'll see. I think I have. The past couple guys that I've dated have definitely been not Michael Pitt material whatsoever.
Like just regular nice people.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, like good character, normal. They don't do cocaine, which is nice.
Yeah.
no real like severe psychotic breaks from reality. So
that's good.
Yeah, it's been an exciting new chapter. Plus. Yeah, yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to keep traveling down that road too.
That's really good. Yeah, I'm trying to get away from guys that just want to have sex with me.
Yeah, that would be good.
Literally, like. Do not want to get to know me. That's not sad or anything. I'm not sad about it. I've taken control of my life.
Jennifer.
What?
I feel like there was a time in our lives when like that would have been okay. Like not necessarily in the like he doesn't want to get to know me, but all he wants to do is have sex with me. Like I feel like there was a specific time in our like late 20s, early 30s where we've been like, great. This is perfect.
Yeah, that would have been really good feelings. Like in my early 30s or when I was married.
Yeah.
And I've outgrown the like sex without, I don't know. I'm like feeling like I'm that Liz Phair song. Like, have you heard that Liz Phair song, Fucking Run?
Yeah.
Like, I want a boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's like, I do. I want a boyfriend.
I think I've kind of moved out of that. Too, where like I was talking about this on another podcast with a friend Lacey about how it used to be like in my late 20s and kind of, not really so much in my early 30s, but maybe a little bit. Like I don't emotionally bond when I have sex with guys. Like it just isn't something that I do. Like I just don't. I'm not one of those women who like has that like physical bonding thing
where you get attached.
Yeah, not at all.
Okay,
no,
that's like awesome.
Yeah, it's very easy for me to just like do it and then move on and like we don't have to talk again. And it used to be like a kind of a standard procedure for me to go on a date with a guy. And if I didn't really feel like there was any potential, but I was attracted to him, like I would totally be cool with just being like, let's do this, you know, because then at least we can like enjoy each other in that way and like fulfill a need. And then we don't have to waste any more time.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I know that I'm still capable of doing that. Like I can, it's still there. But I think that there's a part of me too. No, I know there is. Like my focus now is I'm interested in relationships. I'm not interested in just, I mean, I love getting laid. Don't get me wrong. Like it's one of my favorite things in the entire world.
I think
to
it's
do.
Pretty boring.
You're lying. No, I love it. But I would rather, I'm at that age where I prefer it in the context of relationship, which makes me feel so old to say, but
because we are old.
But
and
it's
childless.
More like me just like growing up and joining everybody else in the revolution.
But I mean, you're always going to get to a point in your life where you want more.
Yeah.
Where like just that is just kind of not enough. You want to at least be able to have like really good conversations with someone and have that kind of connection and be able to have like a physical connection too.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm just not feeling it with someone, like, I'm just like, I'm bored.
Yeah. And I've gone on the opposite end where, like, in my early to mid-20s, I was all about personality. looks didn't really mean that much. I was lucky in that I got to date some really cute guys, but I was really, really personality driven. And in, I don't know, this is weird and I don't know what it means, but it, then in the past few years, I feel like the pendulum has swung the other way where I'm still interested in personality, but there's a part of me where like I go for the pretty, like the super pretty.
Okay.
And it's worked out because like they have come with personalities, at least some of them have. So that's been good. But it's interesting how my like preferences and my tastes have changed. And I almost feel like I've gotten more shallow the older I've gotten. But I also think too, like I was talking about it with my friend Katie. And I think part of it too is I've waited so effing long to, like, I don't date very often and I don't get into very many relationships. Like my last serious relationship was about 2 years ago. And I've dated guys in between then, but I wait really a long time to jump into a relationship and get serious with somebody. So I kind of feel like when I do that, I want it to be like the dream scenario.
Well, yeah. You know? Well, I mean, with getting older, you get more confidence and you just, you know what you want.
Yeah.
You go after it. Yeah. So even if that's just a prettier person.
I hate saying it. I mean, my friend makes fun of me all the time.
We know your secret now.
Yep. But I'm okay with it. Like, I don't know. Like, my friend Joel always makes fun of me and he's like, you just like pretty things. And I'm like, well, who doesn't? Like, who goes to a bar and they're just like, he's too pretty? Which I know that there are people who do that. But I enjoy looking at something nice and I think other people do too. And I'm not going to negate somebody because they're not.
You're like, check out that busted piece of ass over there. I'm going to go talk to
want
him.
Want it.
That guy looks like he hates himself.
But he is like the guy for me.
But he has glasses and a beard. I am in.
You know, do you... I heard somebody say this before, especially in Minneapolis, because it's such a big thing. But I feel like there's a couple of like qualifying factors that can make any guy more attractive. And for me, it's cologne.
Okay.
When I was in high school, it used to be a truck. No longer applies. It's kind of a country girl. And then, and I still feel like it's cologne, but I also feel like a beard can go a long way into making any guy look a little bit more attractive and more manly.
Yes, but I also think it's very important if you're into a guy with a beard that before you really get too attached to them, that you see them without the beard.
Ooh, that's a good
tip. Or one day you're going to be scared as fuck.
Yeah, and you don't know what's under there. It's like guys who shave their heads and like they have a really weird misshapen head. It's like, why?
Okay, no offense to my ex-husband because we're really good friends now. But when I met him, he had a beard and he had some hair. Sorry, Jeff. But then we'd been together for like almost a year and it was like summer and he like shaved his head and his beard. And I was like, I was not comfortable.
Yeah.
I was like, I would not have went out with that.
Really?
Absolutely.
It wasn't just kind of like seeing people without their glasses who wear glasses all the time.
No, it was weird.
Oh, really? Okay.
Real weird.
Yeah.
One time we did that and he did like a handlebar mustache to be funny.
I remember that. I think I saw a picture of that. Yeah.
It was scary. He looks so much better with the beard and hair. Yeah.
Some guys just do. Like when they do those like picture comparisons of a guy without a beard, a guy with a little bit of scruff, and then a guy with a beard. Like, I don't know. I always kind of feel like scruff and beard is the way to go.
Yeah, I love beards. You get put a beard and glasses on a guy with like a relatively okay head of hair, I'm happy.
Yeah. That is a recipe for relative attractiveness.
Yeah.
For sure.
If he has like a nice personality and he isn't a douchebag, that's even better.
That's
but I'll look past going for that the gold. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so like, I feel like when I've had a dry spell for a while, I'm so like much more into like the really masculine guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I find that like when it's been a while, when I haven't like dated anybody or slept with anybody for a while, like all of a sudden like my entire body's like, man. Like
yeah.
I want like tall, broad-shouldered, like testosterone. It's like my body's like hungering for it. Yeah, yeah. Which is not like my normal.
Or like an office guy that works out.
Yep. Who's a weightlifter? Mm-hmm. Builds houses on the weekends.
Yes.
Knows how to swing a hammer.
That'd be awesome.
We're just like sitting here thinking wistfully about
just
it.
Just like, oh.
Then
I want a guy with a job and a car.
You know, it was like the best part about doing Tinder in LA. So here I've noticed that I know that this is a thing that like they get asked this so many times, or like they see girls' profiles that like require this, that they've just added it to their profiles. Like guys here will always like state their height. Like I've noticed that that's become like a really like common denominator for guys' profiles. In LA, they'll state if they have a job or not. Like they'll be like, and yes, I have a job. And I'm like, so this is kind of a thing here, huh? Of the, you know, weeding out the unemployed versus
my thing on OkCupid, I really wish there would have been like one of the like things in the drop down menu that says like drives a car.
Yeah.
Like I'm totally cool if you like are biking to work or doing whatever, but I don't want to have to fucking pick you up when it's raining.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Call me old fashioned, but I want a guy to drive.
You don't want to be depended on for that, though. I mean, you know what I mean?
It's always kind of like the right guy, blah, blah, blah. But for some reason.
Yeah. I ran across a guy's profile that talks about the fact that he bikes everywhere. And he was explicit about that in his profile, too. And he's like, so if you don't live in Ashland or whatever, this probably won't work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if honestly, my deal is that I'm just kind of like a guy's really into bikes. Like,
yeah.
I'm just not into it.
Really?
Mm-mm. I lose interest because I think I'm like a slovenly sort of lazy person. And I enjoy other people that enjoy lazy pursuits.
Yes.
And that like to drive. Because I don't want to drive. I want to be driven around like my grandma.
Yeah.
And be dropped off at the doors of restaurants when it's raining.
Somebody to take care of me and pay my way.
Yeah, just a little details. Like, you know, OkCupid, they have that question. They're like, is chivalry dead? And like one is like, well, this is like appreciated but unnecessary. And then like, no, chivalry is not dead. And then there's that one that's like opening doors one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think find opening doors like second? And one was like, I find it sexist and insulting. It's like, do you find really getting the door for someone is sexist and insulting? Like,
there are women out there, though, that feel that way, though.
I'm not one of them.
Yeah,
I really don't want to be with someone that thinks getting the door for me is sexist and insulting.
You know what? I just remember this. I kind of broke up with a guy last summer because he would never hold a door open for me. And it was one of those things where like it was a little thing that turned into a big deal because my big goal last summer in working on myself and working on how I approach relationships is being better at communication. Like instead of doing that thing of like, I'm mad at you and you're obviously doing this because you don't care about me. Like, hey, maybe I should like actually talk to you about this of like, why is this happening? And here's what I would prefer. So he was younger. We called him Jordan the Young because I was dating a young guy and an older guy at that summer. So he was young. So like that was part of it too, where it's like, okay, maybe this is something where like you haven't had that much experience in dating, so maybe you don't know or whatever. But he really wasn't that young. He was 28. So like there's really not that much excuse. But he would do the thing where like we would walk in and I'd walk in behind him and he like wouldn't even
like he wouldn't even hold the
door. No, not at all. Like he would just like walk in and just like and a couple of times the door would just like close in my face. So then I brought it up to him and like and everything else, like super considerate, super sweet. Like, just a great, smart, awesome, like, super handsome guy. And so I brought it up to him. I'm like, you know, it's the thing where it's, like, it's this really small thing, but it kind of symbolizes a lot. And he got it. Like, right away, he's just like, oh, no. He's like, I totally get that, whatever. Still would not do it. Like, to the point where, like, it was one of those things where, like, it was starting to really piss me off. And I look, like, I tell this story now and I look back and I'm like, that's really dumb. But at the same time, it wasn't. Because it was one of those things where it's like, I made a point of communicating that this is something that's kind of, and it is, it's important to me. Like, I've grown up with men that are very chivalrous and I really appreciate that. And that's like my love language is physical affection and then like acts and things like that. So like those are really big things for me.
Yeah.
So when you don't do common courtesy things, and that was part of it too. Like it goes down to common courtesy. Like I hold doors for everybody.
Oh, yeah, me too. Old people, young people, women, like...
Yeah, just people whoever. I don't even like. I'll be like, let me hold the door for you. Yeah,
so breaks and hits you in the face.
So it was just one thing that kind of like added up to a bunch of stuff, but it was... I think part of it too was that it was one of those things where I'm 30 frickin' five. I don't want to have to teach you that, hey, when you take a girl on a date, like maybe you want to hold the door open for her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm done with that kind of phase of my life of I've put so much work into all these other guys that I've already dated that have moved on to other women and are making them happy with all the things that I taught them how to do. Like, I would like the benefit of someone else's teaching. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to teach a guy how to take a bra off again for the 50th time. Like, done. I did it. It's over.
Yeah. I get that. I mean, it's one thing to just, you know, when you kind of like are walking in front in a door with in front of someone else and just kind of hold the door like a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little even.
Yeah.
I don't need you to like roll out the red fucking carpet.
Right. Or like, yeah. And like please, do like the turn and the hold the door and like the after
Please do not get my car door.
Oh, see, I like that.
I don't find it insulting or whatever, but I just find it a little uncomfortable.
I love it. I love it.
But unlock the door when you get in. Hold on.
No, see, I read that you are actually not supposed to do that. This was in this book that like I started reading and then all of my other friends started reading too up north. And it's Mars and Venus Go Out on a Date. And in it, he talks about the fact that you don't want to do those things because part of the dance between men and women is that men feel good when they can do things for you to show that they appreciate your company. And when you do things, like there's like almost a whole chapter on it where he's like, when women go out of their way to make it easy for him and to kind of like take that role on of like, oh no, like let me do this for you. You're taking away the pleasure that he receives from like planning a date and taking you out and like kind of like taking on that masculine role.
Guys do that? Plan dates? Take you out?
They're supposed to, according to this book.
Is it the same guy? The same Mars, Venus guy?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually really interesting because I grew up watching, God, what was that movie where they talk about it? It's not Rhythm and Blues, but it's something like that. Like early 90s.
Who's in it?
It was like not a hip hop movie, but it was like, God damn it. I'm not going to, I'll talk about it like when we link to the podcast or whatever.
If I knew who was in it, I'd be able to help you.
Yeah. Like it's something like Rhythm and Blues, but it's not. I want to say that it was directed by Spike Lee.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mo Better
it
Blues?
Was like, no, maybe. Hmm. It was in Harlem or whatever. And okay. Like MTV showed it like a billion times. But anyway, so there's a scene in that movie where he talks about the fact that he took this girl out on a date and one of his big things is seeing if she unlocks the door for him. Like she reaches over and unlocks the door for him. And if she doesn't, then it's over.
Does that happen in High Fidelity too?
I don't know.
Okay. I feel like that's a thing in High Fidelity.
I know it's like, it's a movie scene that has been like repeated over and over.
Okay. Cause in Singles, it's when you say like, when someone sneezes or she sneezes,
you say bless you.
And then he doesn't.
Yeah.
But then he does.
Yeah. So like I grew up like being like, oh no, I need to unlock this car door. Cause what if this guy is like, has this role too? But in the book, like the guy, David Gray or whatever, he's like, no, he's like, you're making yourself uncomfortable. You're wrinkling your outfit. He's like, it's an awkward thing for you to do.
Stay pretty.
Right.
Stay pretty for your man. I'm happy with that.
But he's just like, you're going out of your way to do this thing that like, he's not going to appreciate. And it's going to be something that like, is going to take away the pleasure of like, it just... biologically, like it talked about, like men like conquests and men like challenges, and like, so they like football, and that's why they go for like the job promotion and stuff like that. And we can argue about that forever, but and that's something that I do kind of side with, where like I feel like there are different biological differences, like we're equal, but we're separate in the fact that like men are, whether it's a whether it's a biological thing or whether it's a like social nurtured nature thing. Mm-hmm. Men are kind of brought up to pursue challenge. Like, that's supposed to be exciting for them. And we see that in every aspect of life. We see that with football. We see that with, you know, going for like the most expensive car and the biggest job promotion and going for the girl too. Like, the girl who plays hard to get, like, they fucking love that shit. So it is that thing of like, when a guy takes you on a, out on a date, like, the whole purpose of it is that he's courting you. He is wooing you. So like, his reward for that is making sure that you have a good time, like planning it, making you happy, etc. And I know the way that I'm saying it, I know somebody's going to try to give me pushback on being sexist, but it's the mating ritual. And then yeah. our like role in that is to simply like give him the pleasure of our company. You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like when dates work out that way, they work out best, where it's like, you know what? I'm here to like enjoy myself and to get to know you and to let you get to know me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the guy is, you know, he's working for that.
We're going to get it in. It's really rare these days for that to happen in that order.
It is, which is
why. Especially like in the city. It's the worst.
It is the worst because guys, I'm not going to say guys because it's not always the guys'
fault. Oh, no, absolutely not. But those, the good guys, they've already wooed their person.
Do you really think that?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But maybe it's the kind of guy that I end up going after too.
That's true. I just, yeah, like I used to have very, if you've ever read my blog, like 2 years ago or beyond that, I used to have very rigid standards of like what I wanted and what I didn't want and how to negate certain people. And later on in life, I realized that I was using that as a way to disqualify people based on like just different like psychological things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to get into my therapy session. But I realized from that there's certain things that I appreciate. There's certain things that don't necessarily have to happen, and everybody makes mistakes, and it's, you know, everybody says things that they regret on a first date, and like everybody's nervous. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things where if you're asking me out on a date and you want to take me out, don't tell me to walk out to the corner of Hennepin and Lindale so I can jump in your Jeep as you pause on the side of the road because you don't want to have to find a parking space.
Yeah.
That's not okay. Like, that makes you feel like a prostitute. I don't want to go out with you again.
That's not good at all.
No. That was really annoying.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I've also haven't been on a date in a long time where someone actually picked me up.
See, and I just think that that is such a win.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah. But I think there's so many, I don't know, because I battle with this where, like, originally I want to say I feel like it's really lazy when a guy wants to take you out on a date but then wants to meet you somewhere. And this is different if you've never met before. If you know this guy and he's like, I want to take you out, he should fucking pick you up. Like, I don't care if we live in North and he lives in South Minneapolis or Burnsville. Like, it should still be something that he should come and pick you up like a gentleman and squire you to your date.
Yeah. I mean, is that like more of a second date nowadays when people like barely like go on a first date with someone that they've met before?
I feel like it gets really, I feel like it gets more casual the more dates you go on. Like, I feel like the blind date and like the Tinder OkCupid meetup doesn't even count. Like, that's where it's like, it's stranger danger. You don't know. Go to a coffee shop in between the two of you.
Yeah.
But I absolutely feel like if he's like, I want to take you out on a date, like, he better fucking pick you up. Like, that's part of it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And like, guys have no idea how much bonus points they win from that stuff.
Oh, absolutely not.
Like, have no I idea. Never forgot. Like, I will never forget the guy who came to pick me up when I lived in North and he lived in South Minneapolis. Like, it was kind of a jaunt, but he insisted on picking me up at my door. And then he was also the guy that would walk on the outside of the sidewalk whenever we'd walk down the street.
Which walk is such at an- the same pace as you?
Yes. Too? It was amazing. Yeah, he did. But it was such like an old school thing. And he didn't make a big deal out of it. Like, he wouldn't even say, he's like, oh no, let me walk on this side. It was just one of those things where we'd be walking on the street and he would just like subtly like go on the outside of me. And me, having read many historical romance books, I knew what he was doing. He was trying to protect me from any splatter that would happen from the street. But it was memorable. It was like, oh my God, like, you care about doing those things.
Well, yeah, and it's just nice to see someone go the extra mile and not be like, look at me, I'm going the extra mile.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, yeah, want to get a reward for it.
Well, you will get a reward. Just you keep will. Being a decent person.
Yes. Eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually we'll be like, give me the D.
Yeah. I don't want to be tricked into a D.
No. Nobody wants to be tricked into the D.
It's called rape. Sorry. That's.
And the podcast took
guys,
a turn.
Sorry, guys.
All right. So now that we have taken everybody through the hallowed halls of our dating
and relationships. Let's talk about pop culture. Nah, just kidding. You listen to their feelings. Yeah.
So, speaking of men, though. All right. So, I fell down the rabbit hole of the Robbie Benson situation.
What network is that even on?
It's not. It's not a network. It's what I call it when I get...
Your
get
situation.
On a topic and I end up like Googling and Wikipedia-ing and okay. YouTubing the shit out of it. So Robbie Benson, for those of you who don't know, was a heartthrob in the late 70s, early 80s. Super blue, icy blue eyes, like gorgeous.
Feathered hair.
Brown hair. Oh my God, the best feathered hair ever. And he was in Ice Castles, which as a figure skater growing up was like the most amazing movie. It's about a scrappy young girl who becomes a professional figure skater and then is blinded in a horrible ice skating accident. But she still performs at an ice skating competition and wins. And nobody knows she's blind until they throw the roses out onto the ice and she trips over one of them. And then Robbie Benson comes down and grabs her and makes everything okay. Yeah. And he's also in... he's in Ode to Billy Joe.
Oh, yes.
Which I think I saw once and I wasn't like, woo. Yeah. That's kind of a... Kind of a
it's dark.
It's a dark movie.
It's real dark.
Yeah. Real dark.
It's real dark, but it's got a good song.
Yeah. Yep. It's about gay rape and suicide. Not really gay rape. Would you call it gay rape? I don't know if I would call it gay rape. I think the more that I say that, the more offensive it sounds. Yeah.
I don't want to know what happens if you say it a third time, don't
no. Anyways, it's about non consensual sex. And then one of those people commits suicide. Yeah, in the song.
No one knows that.
No. My favorite movie about Robbie Benson, though, starring Robbie Benson, not about him, is called California Girls, where he is a mechanic in New Jersey who hates the winter, so he decides to move out to California, where he runs into and meets his dream girl, who is also a model, and she takes him along the path of being a high-class mechanic and opening up a high-class mechanic shop, but then it becomes a disaster, and he loses the girl, and then he wakes up and realizes it was all a dream.
No. Yeah. One of those movies. I hate that.
Well, I think, like, he wakes up and realizes it's all... The way it ends is that the model is, like, a figment of his imagination, and he still ends up in California and, like, running down the Venice... boardwalk or whatever, and then he meets like this actual like really nice girl, or maybe it's his ex-girl from New Jersey, I don't remember. It's not available anywhere. Like, I think you can buy it from Amazon, which I might do so I can fill you guys in on the specifics on the next time on this podcast.
Oh my gosh, I have to do some drugs to watch that.
It's really good.
I just don't like the waking up from a dream resolution to a film.
I know, but isn't that hilarious though?
Yeah, it is. All this crazy stuff happened. Nor did it.
Joke's on you. Yeah, so that's what I was currently obsessing about in pop culture. How about you?
Let's see here. I'm a little hung up on all things Taylor Swift.
And what's going on with Taylor Swift?
Oh, not a whole lot, but she's got a new single coming out.
That's
and
true.
And I almost bought it on iTunes.
Really?
I heard a snippet of it on
what's
YouTube.
It called?
It's called In Out of the Woods.
Oh.
And it is not as catchy as Shake It Off.
I love Shake It Off.
Shake It Off is one of my favorite songs of the year.
Yeah.
I can just listen to it over and over again.
Yeah.
For some reason, it always starts playing at the same part of my commute home from work.
Yep, me too. Yeah, I heard it on my way to work and then on my way back to work.
Yeah.
And I don't care what those cynical assholes say. It's a catchy song and it makes you feel better.
The catchiest song. Yeah. And I love her. I don't even care.
I do too.
Except if that whole like stealing dancers from Katy Perry thing.
See, I don't know.
Maybe your dancers shouldn't be awesome. If Taylor Swift doesn't steal your dancers, Lady Gaga will.
That's true. And Gaga don't play.
I really don't like the idea of like Katy Perry being bitchy to Taylor Swift.
You know, here's the thing, though.
I love them both.
I love them both, too. And I kind of feel like, I don't know. I know them personally. But I think both of them are adorable. There is something about Taylor Swift, though, that kind of is like, she reminds me of this girl I went to high school with named Emmy Treptow that... If you didn't really know her, you'd be like, she's adorable. She's so nice. Like, she's so sweet. She's so smart. And then you get to know her and you realize that, like, she's a two-faced bitch. And yeah, I don't regret saying Emmy Treptow. Anybody who knows Emmy Treptow, she was a two-faced bitch and I hate her.
Okay.
But Taylor Swift kind of reminds me a little bit of Emmy Treptow, where I feel like there's been certain things that she said in interviews and other things where I'm like, I know she's growing up and we can't expect her to like be the sweet girl anymore, but there's some things that she said where I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe you're not really all that sweet. And maybe this whole Katy Perry thing is just you like trying to deflect of your own like bitchy two-sidedness.
Yeah, maybe.
But then like I read about other stuff that she does where like she writes a whole Instagram message to a girl who's being bullied and I'm like, I love Taylor Swift. Like, how can't you not?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they just don't like each other and that's okay.
Yeah, you don't have to. I mean, I feel like, in a way, like, Katy Perry has to kind of dislike Taylor Swift.
Why do you
just
feel that
in
way?
The grand scheme of, like, pop stars.
Yeah.
And, like, living, like, Katy Perry's lived a life. She's an adult woman.
Yes,
mostly.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think...
I mean, and while they're both pop stars, they're also really great songwriters.
Right, yeah.
So they know what they're doing.
Well, and plus, like, wasn't the whole, like, logistical situation, the fact that these were dancers that already worked with Katy Perry before, and so she didn't steal them from Taylor Swift. They just decided to go back and work for Katy Perry, whom they already worked with. It was more of like a loyalty thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and it's more fun. It's more fun.
It is more fun. Hey, and like her shows are amazing.
Yeah, and I don't think that Taylor Swift needs dancers. Now she does.
Yeah.
But I don't see why she needed dancers to begin with.
No. Because you don't really go to her show to see her dance, whereas, like, Katy Perry, you do.
Well, yeah. Seriously, like, Taylor Swift was a terrible dancer until just recently. She must have put a lot of work into it.
Yeah.
She's just gawky as hell. Like, yeah. She couldn't help it.
No.
Like, I sort of buy into this, like, you know, Taylor Swift was writing all these songs about breakups and relationships where I think that she was... This is a weird thing to say, but I think she was a virgin until, like, at some point, like, in the past year. I feel
you know,
like in her
I've
dancing, like in her dancing, like I think her pre like deflowered like dancing is like gawky, but then once she had sex, she like got some soul.
Yeah. She got some sexuality into her dancing.
I think so.
That could be an interesting theory. Cause I kind of look back at her other relationships and I'm like, you know, I wonder, like, it's none of my business, but there is a part of me that's like, I want to know. Like, I want to know who with. And when, because she is, like, so innocent and demure,
mm-hmm.
You know that John Mayer. I wonder, we are, like, getting into so much gossip right now. I almost wonder if John Mayer, like, dropped her because she was a virgin.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
See, I'm sure, like, the Harry Styles thing, I could see that, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because he is kind of a douche.
And nobody wants to have sex with him.
I would. I might.
The first time, though, would you really want to give your virginity to Harry Styles?
Yeah, Wendy is the best, Amber.
Such a fucking liar.
No, I mean, that ship sailed a long time ago.
Jake Gyllenhaal, though.
I think Jake Gyllenhaal's like a guy that's going to be like a pretty nice guy about it.
Yeah, but I think that's the guy that she probably was like, okay, let's do this thing.
Probably, but yeah. That would not correlate with my dance theory.
Well, who do you think she was with when...
I think maybe she just got a prostitute.
She just hired one from the road.
My God, I would love that if that was true. Like a high-priced, high-class male prostitute.
Or maybe it was one of the dancers that Katy Perry stole from her tour. Oh, and that's why she's so pissed.
Oh, my God.
They weren't just dancers. They were also lovers.
Maybe it was John Mayer, and that's why they broke up. This last time. I doubt it. That's insane.
You know, though, John Mayer is totally that guy who would do that, though. Like, he would take a girl's virginity and then be like, you know what, this is too intense for me.
Yeah, like literally right after.
Yeah. like a next stage, just be like, you know, I just don't know if this is where I want to go.
Or like you fall asleep, wake up in the middle of the night at like 2 a.m. and be like, dude, it's too much. Too much, bruh.
I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go practice guitar and make weird faces.
I do have a soft spot for John Mayer, though.
I don't. He's a douche. Everyone knows it.
I kind of want to do him.
I feel bad for Katie.
I feel bad for Katie, for sure. But
I don't know how that went down, and maybe she broke up with him, but
I don't think so. I think Katie's one of those girls that when she starts going out with a guy, like, he becomes, like, super obsessed with her and, like, super in love. And then after, like, 3 months, like, that kind of drops off. Like, she's one of those girls where, like, it's the initial burn that guys are just, like, really crazy about. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and then slowly but surely, like, that fades away.
That's the worst.
It is.
That happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm Katy Perry.
Me too. Awesome. We're all Katy Perry.
The best.
Should be the name of our podcast. We should rename it. We are all Katy
Perry. We are all Katy Perry. Yeah, but only if we talk about like relationships and stuff in the middle.
And talk about our sexual preferences.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then intersperse it with
I prefer plot it with lines. My socks on. I will get totally naked, but I don't want to take my socks off. Unless I'm at home, if I'm in my own house and I'm not going to have to put my socks back
on. Are you fucking serious, though? Or like, you're not joking?
Yeah, but if I'm sleeping, if I'm going to sleep, have relations with someone at their house.
Sexual intercourse?
At their house.
If you're going to fornicate?
If at some point I'm going to leave the place that I am and I don't have clean socks, I don't want to take my socks off because I don't want to put those dirty socks back on.
You are so hilarious.
It's really weird. It's just.
It's so fucking weird. But I love it.
Who doesn't like having sex with a girl that's just wearing socks? Anklets, even.
You know what you should do, though? You should get those knee-high socks, because then that looks like super sexy. It looks like you're wearing boots.
They're kind of uncomfortable.
Really? I love them.
I got fat calves. I need to go to the fat calf
girl. Fat calf sock store?
Sock store.
Oh, my God. You are so funny. Sexy
anklets. I'm mostly sad, but I'm glad that you find it amusing. You can't laugh about how pathetic you are. Like,
no.
How do you even get through life? I don't care. I'll accept it.
I don't know if I have like a weird quirk when it comes to sleeping with guys. I don't know.
I don't like putting dirty socks back on
that
ever.
That is fine, Jennifer. If you don't like it, you don't have to do it.
And that lowers the chances of them licking your foot.
You don't like that?
No, I kind of like it, but I don't like liking it.
It's not something that I want to boast about having as a
no,
preference.
No, it's only happened to me one time.
I don't know if a guy has licked my foot. A guy has sucked my toes before, though.
But it just comes out. In my case, it came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting it. And it was like the
oh,
first
no,
time.
You have to warn about that stuff because
yeah,
it's so
it was
ticklish.
The first time I had relations with this
what?
Person. And it was, I was
you
like,
don't bring out the freak bag on the first night.
Oh, all of the freak bag was brought out.
Oh, really?
Like,
it was brought in?
All of the things, pretty much, minus the gross stuff.
Oh, my God. Put it all out there.
Yeah, why not? This is the episode's first episode. Episode one.
I wasn't talking about that. I think I like to wait a little bit before I kind of like introduce like, I don't know.
I'm not good at like being like, no, I'm not really into that on the first. But like if it's happening and it's not like abuse, I'm just like, all right, I'm going to go with it. You know, I go with it.
Jen Paulson, the passive participant.
Oh, yeah.
Just like to lie there.
That sounds better. I mean, other than like laziness, it's not laziness.
Dude.
But it's just like it's happening. What?
I used to joke all the time that, like, I just wanted to lie there. You just, like, do what you need to do, and I'm just going to lie here and go and, like, rest.
Well, sometimes it's good, because if there's too much pressure, then it's just...
Yeah.
I can't.
No. See, yeah. I joke about it. That's not how I actually am. Not that anybody here needs to know anything about how I operate in the bedroom, but... Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think guys have, like, come out with some pretty uncomfortable things. And it's been one of those things where it's like, I don't want to do it. And, like, I try to, like, avoid it. Like, the pushing down the head thing. Like, if you do that, I'm going to duck and move to the side and, like, not do it.
Yeah, just to spite them.
Yeah.
So that's rude.
Yes, it's super rude and it pisses me off.
Unless you're, like, doing, like, a sort of night where you're like, yeah, let's like a little fantasy night where you do all the rude stuff that guys do.
Yeah.
Push on your head, roll over and go directly to sleep.
That is so annoying. Or like there's been positions where I'm like, I'm not quite comfortable with that. Like, oh, I don't know you that well yet to get like that intimate with you.
Yeah. Like you don't want people to see your butthole right away.
Yeah, that's exactly
here's,
it. Yeah,
here's the deal. I will just say the things.
I will politely allude to them and Paulson will just bring it out.
But I appreciate that about you. But yeah. I'm talking like it's about myself, not you, right? I don't, or maybe not. Maybe you'll, if you agree, then.
But it's true though. Like reverse cowgirl. I don't want to do it. Like, I just, unless, like, we have an intimate relationship, I don't want to, like, it just feels.
Are we married? Have babies come out of me yet? All right, let's do this.
But it just, like, it feels awkward, too. Oh, yeah. And, like, when you first start sleeping with somebody, like, you want to feel sexy. Like, you want to feel like you're sensual and that you're a seductress and, like, this is, like, you're in beautiful, misty, watercolored light. Like, you don't want to be, like, in a weird position where, like, you don't feel confident about how your body looks.
Yeah, you don't want it to be, like, amateur porn.
Yeah.
You want it to be, like, like softcore porn.
Yeah. And, like, one thing, too, that I think not a lot of guys might be aware of is that until, like, you've built an somewhat intimate, and girls can feel free to disagree with me, until you've built a somewhat intimate relationship with a guy, and or unless like she requests it, like I have a friend who like loves doggy style, like she will request it no matter what. But there's something about sleeping with a guy initially and having like wanting him to have your back turned towards him during sex. Like it just is one of those things where it's like, why? Like that's why chicks love missionary. That's why we like being on, like we like having that eye contact because we want to feel like we are the ones that you are connecting with. When a guy just, like, wants you to, like, turn over, it's, like, it's not, it makes you feel like it's not about you. It's just about, like, the act that's happening right then.
I'm kind of a proponent for myself. Like, the first time you have sex with someone, that it's kind of vanilla.
It's what?
Like, vanilla. Like, yes. It's just kind of, like, PG-13 sex where it doesn't get, like, too crazy.
Hmm.
I just like to, I mean, that's just something that's happening to me now where I'd rather just adjust into it.
Yeah.
Because I was going through like a phase where I was dating guys and it was kind of just like, okay, you'd go on a date and then you'd like hang out and like sleep together for a while and then you became kind of empty and weird.
Yeah.
And then that's just not.
No. See, I've gotten into like the slow burn of like I never used to wait. Like I just didn't care about waiting. I'm like, what's the point? And I think, I mean, part of it was like, we could all die tomorrow and then I'm going to really regret like not having sex with this beautiful person.
No, you won't. 'Cause you'll be dead.
Yeah. But in heaven, I'll regret it. Because there's always those guys that like, I'm like, no, I'm going to wait because I want this to mean something. And then we ended up breaking up and I never got to sleep with him. And like, those are still the guys that I'm like, God damn it. Like, why did I put the brakes on that one? But now in my old age, I'm starting to actually appreciate like waiting because it's a nice slow burn. And then when it actually does happen, like it's not, for me, it's not vanilla. Like it's not like kink, but it's more of just like, this is hot. Like we've been waiting forever to do this.
And, oh yeah. Like, well, it builds up that anticipation and it actually is like old
fashioned. And it's not
old
as
fashioned.
Awkward. Yeah. Like I feel like, I mean, I've highly enjoyed like first date, first sex many times, but there is a part of it where it's like, I don't know you. I don't know what you like. I don't know if like you're okay with this, if you're not. So then there's like that element of awkward and question and like, yeah, I don't like that. Like I want to just like focus on let's do this and make it awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. And it's just like something, well, things are just kind of like everything like at face value. It's just kind of just seems shallow, not shallow, but like not a connection. I'm just kind of tired of not having a connection with someone.
Yes.
And it's like, I feel like to have like a good sex life with someone, you have to build a connection from day one.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I think like the thing that's going to make it amazing is that intimacy factor.
Yeah.
Which I haven't been good at up until recently. So yeah, I think that's why sex has gotten better.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. I had a really interesting thing to say. Don't I always? Nope, I lost it. It was really good.
Backtrack.
No, yeah, Father no, checks. I got it. It's like when you're in your 20s or when you've dated and you get into this trap where you have literally had sex just drunk for like 5 years.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't like every single time. But yeah, I mean, there's like a period of time in my life where I don't feel like I ever had sex when I wasn't drinking. Mm-hmm. And then it's like when you meet someone and you're like, oh my God, we're not drunk.
Yeah. Like, I actually like you and I want to do this and I don't have to be buzzed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there are certain guys where it's like, I really only want to hang out with you if I could drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been a couple of those for me too where it's like, it's run the gamut of, I think like the big clincher for me was a few years ago where there was this one guy where in the bedroom, like super hot, masculine, like just dominant, like checked all those boxes for me. And then outside, it was like, I had a really tough time. Like he would talk in a baby voice and like, it was just one of those things where I'm just like, I don't want
to. Amber doesn't like being talked to in a baby voice.
I don't like that at all.
Like, he would use this, like, you know when, like, women do things that guys do because they think that that's what's going to appeal to men and it doesn't? Like, I think he had this idea that, like, because women, sometimes we talk in a softer, higher register when we're talking to somebody that we like, we'll be like, hey, how was your day? Like, he would then effect, like, okay, put on that voice effect when he was talking to a girl. Like, he'd be like, hey, how's your day? And like, I don't like that. Like, it was just, it was one of those things where I'm like, we are not going to date. We're not going to have a relationship because I can't stand your voice. But in the bedroom, everything's just peach keen and perfectly great. And I started noticing that I was building those fences for other people too, where I didn't enjoy having a conversation with certain people unless I was drinking. I didn't have to be drunk, but I needed that buffer. Like, I needed that a distraction of like, if the conversation sucks, like I can take a drink. And like, I needed that buzz to like make the conversation at least a little bit more interesting.
Oh,
yeah. It's
like why 50% of people that smoke cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. So then I started noticing that there are certain guys that, if I, like my last serious relationship, he didn't really drink a lot. And I always thought that that would be a struggle for me. I'm not a huge drinker. I'm not like an alcoholic or anything like that. But like, I enjoy social drinking. Like, it's fun for me. I like it. It's how I interact with and socialize with certain people. And it's a comforting thing for me to like come home at the end of the day and pop a beer and like have a conversation with my roommate or whoever I'm living with. Now, not so much. I just don't drink that much anymore for health reasons. But I noticed with this guy that something that I thought that I would really miss was something that like I missed very seldomly because his personality was so great and he was so much fun anyways.
And they can drive.
And he could drive. Yep. He had a license. He had a car. So I didn't really miss it, but I don't know. Anyways.
But have you ever noticed people like that don't drink, and then when they do get drunk, it's like a holiday?
I have become one of those people. Yeah. Cause, well, number one, I don't eat any sugar or any like bread or carbs anymore because of my health protocol. So when I do have a little bit of alcohol, like it goes right to my bloodstream. Yeah. And like, I don't drink very often either. So when I'm in that mood of like, I want to go out and have a couple drinks, it became a problem this summer. Like, it became a thing of like, I didn't need it to function, but once I have a drink, like, I want all the drinks. Like, I don't want to stop.
Well, that's how it happens. Like, and I'm sure you know this, like, not doing sugar. Mm-hmm. It's like you have like the tiniest bit of sugar and it is like nuts.
Oh my God. My brain goes wacko.
All it wants is more sugar. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed that with myself where I cut myself off from sugar and then I'm like, I just want one can of Coke. And then it becomes like I'm having a mocha and I'm having a Coke and I'm having a Red Bull all the same goddamn day.
Yeah. No, and that we were talking about that at work the other day too, where if you start off your day with sugar, like if you do a sugary cereal or you do a muffin or something like a muffin from Starbucks or even a mocha from there, like you are hitting a more, like, I want to say propensity. You have more of a propensity to, like, consume more sugar throughout the day.
Yeah, you just crave it.
You do. It, like, it hits your brain and it triggers this craving that you can't get rid of. And I'm one of those people where I have a little bit, like, even fruit, I can't do. Because I'll do fruit and then I'll want it all day long and all the time. Because it's, like, that little bit of natural sugar, my brain goes crazy.
Okay, and so like the you do almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
Does almond milk have like sugars in it, like regular milk would?
A super minimal amount.
Okay, because yeah, regular milk is just
I a can't bunch do of sugar. No, that's
carrots. It's, like, can you not have carrots?
Nope. I can't have like root vegetables. So
they're super starchy. Yeah, carrots are.
Yeah, and I can't do potatoes.
If I have like 5 carrots, like before bed, I won't be able to sleep.
Yeah.
That's but so I can weird. Have a can of Red Bull.
Yeah. See, it's weird how like different things like that affect you. Like caffeine never used to affect me. I literally would drink a pot of coffee throughout the day where it on a weekend, it could be 6 pots of coffee a day. And I could go to sleep like a baby, like no effect whatsoever. And now that I'm not doing, I'm not supposed to be doing coffee, but I'm doing decaf to like, you know, make a compromise. But if my barista makes caffeine by mistake, like caffeinated coffee by mistake, I know instantly. Like, I don't go like buzz crazy, but like I get an instant like.
You know, like the Tasmanian devil, but close.
No, but like I feel like a little bit, like I can feel it in my brain.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's the weirdest thing ever. Yeah. But before, like it never affected me. So, yeah. So anyways, back to drinking. So that affects the drinking a little bit. A lot actually. And like, it becomes the thing of, yeah, like I want all the alcohol all the time. And then
what are you even able to drink then? Like, what do you drink when you're drinking?
Well, if I'm sticking to the protocol, I can have like gin and tonics are pretty safe.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I'm not supposed to, and I'm supposed to really like limit it. This summer when I wasn't sticking to it, a lot of beer. I did a lot of wine. I still can't do red wine because it still makes me sick no matter what. But like white wine, white wine, beer. Sometimes I'll mix it up and have a Cosmo. But
okay,
like vodka and gin, clear liqueurs are supposed to be okay. And like potato vodka is supposed to be the best. But I don't like vodka and it makes me feel like shit. So yeah.
I love gin.
I like gin too. I've really gotten into gin and tonics. But if I have too much of them, like I can tell like the sugar is.
Well, I mean, there's high fructose corn syrup in tonic water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you get like the really fancy stuff.
Yeah. And like one thing that I've noticed that it does too is that if I have too many, like another go-to this summer was OJ and Malibu. If I have too many drinks, my eyes start to get blurry and itchy from the sugar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, an orange juice has a fuckload of sugar in it. I know.
Yeah. Sure does.
I really like orange juice with vodka and 7-Up. It's called a screw-up, which just makes me feel like I'm living my life properly. And just keep asking for screw-ups.
You know what drink I wish I could drink is a satin slipper.
What's that?
Silver slipper.
Okay.
Vodka gin. And I think, is it club soda or tonic? Maybe both of those.
Vodka and gin?
Mm-hmm.
That's why Cinderella thought that she had like a glass slipper.
Yeah. It's... I'm pretty sure that's what's in the drink, according to one of my bartenders. But I'm like, it's such a pretty name. I just want to be able to drink it, even though it'd be the worst thing ever for me.
Honestly.
It could be. I mean, if you wanted it to be.
Full of roofies. That's a lot of roofies.
Yeah. So anyway, now that I'm back in the cities too, and like, I want to hang out with my friends, like I'm trying to work out the balance of being lax with the drinking and also like sticking to my protocol. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't want to go crazy.
But you could have like a happy hour where you don't drink.
Yeah. That wouldn't be such a happy hour though. I'd be that happy.
It'd be a sad hour. And it would only be like, 1 hour.
Plus, you know, one thing that I learned too, like every once in a while I do like a sober month, and you, like, we've been friends throughout some of those sober months. And it's weird how people react when you don't drink. Like, it makes them feel uncomfortable. And, like, yeah. I don't feel uncomfortable. Like, I'll just have a tonic water and lime, or I'll have, you know, before I would have, like, a Diet Coke or whatever. But it just makes them feel really awkward and uncomfortable. Like, it's not okay that you're not drinking. Or they feel like, well, maybe I shouldn't drink either. And it's like, it's fine. So, like, now my go-to is a tonic water and lime, because if I can order it without people hearing, then they think that I'm drinking a gin and tonic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, otherwise people just act weird. And, like, they don't, I don't know, they don't really want to. They don't want to hang.
One of the most awesome things to do is you get like a lime fizzy water. So like a Mendota Springs or like an H2O or like a LaCroix. And then you do that so it doesn't have any like sweeteners or anything.
Right.
It's just fizzy water, but it's lime flavored and gin and a lime.
Yeah.
It's like a gin and tonic, but without the other shit.
Right. Without the bad stuff.
Yeah, which is nice. Except I'm sort of convinced that, like, LaCroix, at least, you must use some sort of, like, essential oil.
Okay.
To flavor their water. Because if it's, like, zero calories, zero preservatives, zero salt.
I think it is. Yeah.
Because it says natural flavors, but you can look online and it will not tell you.
Right.
And I don't know. Like, for me, it's like I have a LaCroix and you take, like, the first sip and it doesn't, it just tastes like fizzy water, but then you smell it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't taste the flavor, but I feel like I smell it.
I've only had like one LaCroix and I wasn't a fan. Which, but we have a lot of them at work, and I looked at the label like literally 2 days ago and I noticed that too.
The grapefruit is the best. Try the grapefruit.
Yeah, and they have a different name for it, don't they? Like,
it's pamplemousse.
Pamplemousse.
It's French.
Like LaCroix. Better. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Silver Slipper is made with lemon, lime, soda, rum, or water and root beer. No, that's not right.
That's insane.
That doesn't even, like, no.
That sounds like a drink that seventh graders make.
Bullshit. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I will look it up
Sprite
for those
and some
know.
Root beer and some vodka.
Put some root beer in there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Some, just my like, first drink was rum and Dr. Pepper, and I still want to die just thinking about it.
That sounds disgusting.
You can't mix any liquors with Dr. Pepper, which is really kind of fucked up.
It, yeah, because you'd think it would be really tasty. But it ain't.
It's gross.
All right, well, we are at an hour and a half.
Oh, my God. How will I ever find the time to eat pizza?
You are going to have plenty of time to eat pizza and watch TV.
I'm past my bedtime now.
All right, well, thank you, everybody, for joining us for this first inaugural episode of Pizza Rainbow. Hope you come back later to hear us talk more about sex, aka pop culture.
Yeah. And if you listened this far, I have a gold star for you.
I know, right?
And contact me on my OkCupid profile. JK, it doesn't exist anymore.
Maybe we'll divide this up into two podcasts. I feel like we really ran the gamut, though.
I feel like we could have a pop culture cup podcast. We could have like a sex and relationships podcast.
Well, you know, and maybe it's just Pizza Rainbow because we just talk about stuff that we care about.
Yeah.
Like maybe it doesn't have to be like, we're talking about pop culture.
Yeah.
Like I kind of like it when we go off on our tangents. Maybe like pop culture could be the frame of like, we're here to kind of talk about this, but then if we end up talking about other stuff.
I might talk about, I don't want guys to see my butthole until we're married.
You should make it into a bumper sticker. No buttholes until
marriage.
What
are we talking about? Look at my butthole. Look at it right now. Please don't.
And on that note,
peace out.
We are all Katy Perry's. Until next time.